Hello and good afternoon and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, and always it's my pleasure to spend time with you, the listening audience of RBN all across this nation. And certainly if you're out and about internationally, you can get by your computer and listen in as well with streaming facilities. So we say a good welcome to many people in many different places, and we thank you for listening to Born on the 4th of July. What an interesting world today. We get to see a little bit of a view of the opulence and lovely rooms and settings in Saudi Arabia and a view of Cairo with the traveling of the president. We hear a lot about the world of Islam. And do we hear the balancing verbiage being used of, let's say, a Catholic world, a Lutheran world? Do we hear that? American world? Think about that for just a moment and see maybe where this is all implanting into our thinking and our minds, that of an Islamic world or the world of Islam. We have a great guest that I'll bring on in just a moment, and he's listening and is with us now. But I have just a little bit of a monologue I'd like to share, and it kind of sets the stage for today's discussion. And we are doing a series today where we have citizens from the United States that are just kind of like you and me. And yet they've taken the time to analyze and speak out and write essays and determine some things for themselves. So we will bring our guest on in the Meet America series in just a moment. I have in front of me an email from France, and then it is describing an article by Dr. Emmanuel Tanet, a psychiatrist, who is writing about a perspective of a friend of his. I believe it is very, very apropos for today's experience. And I'll be aware that we'll go to break here soon. And it's called A German's View on Islam. A man whose family was of German aristocracy prior to World War II owned a number of large industries. When asked how many German people were true Nazis, the answer he gave was, well, very few. Very few people were Nazis, but many enjoyed the return of German pride, and more were too busy to care. So the majority just sat back and let it all happen. Then, before we knew it, they owned us. We had lost control of the land. We had lost control of our country. And my family ended up in a concentration camp. And the Allies destroyed my factories. We are told again and again by experts, Islam is a religion of peace, and that the majority of Muslims want peace. Perhaps that is true, but it is entirely irrelevant. It's meant to diminish the specter of the fanatics who are rampaging across the globe in the name of Islam. The fact is, fanatics rule Islam at this moment. It is the fanatics who march, wage war, systematically slaughter Christian and tribal groups in Africa, taking over Africa in an Islamic wave. It is the fanatics who teach the young children to kill and become suicide bombers. Peaceful Islam, the majority, the silent majority, is cowed. We'll be right back.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You invest, you buy insurance, you wear your seatbelt, you do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, communication devices, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against all natural disasters and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you are not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in FEMA lines. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. Or call 877-231-1925. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now.
An important part of healing in youth involves your body's ability to create proteins at a rate faster than your body is breaking down. The process of creating proteins is orchestrated by amino acids and repair proteins, both of which become deficient in the typical person's body the older they get, so that by age 40, the rate of repair has declined enough that the effects are very noticeable to most people. Chrysalis is a liquid spray nutritional supplement that supplies the body an essential repair protein. By taking Chrysalis, you can potentially improve your overall rate of repair. This product is reported to have a profound track record of success. People frequently report deeper sleep, more energy, better mood, aches and pains going away, loss of body fat, gray hair reversing, vision improvement, and much more. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Go to learnthesecretstoyouth.com. That's learnthesecretstoyouth.com or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
I was referring from the article to the teaching of the young children to kill and become suicide bombers. Peaceful Islam majority, the silent majority, is cowed, and the fanatics have taken over mosque after mosque. Think of communist Russia. It was comprised of Russians who just wanted to live in peace, yet Russian communists were responsible for the murder of about 20 million in the past century. Peaceful majority were irrelevant. China's huge population was peaceful as well, but Chinese communists managed to kill 70 million people or upwards. And the Japanese, prior to World War II, was not a warmongering sadist nation, and yet Japan slaughtered its way across Southeast Asia. We have Rwanda, and we have other examples. But the point is, peace-loving Muslims have been made irrelevant by their silence. Peace-loving Muslims will become our enemy if they don't speak up, because like my friend from Germany, they will awaken one day and find that fanatics own them, and the end of their world will have begun. So it is interesting to contemplate, Mr. and Mrs. America, would you have been agreeable if during the campaign that it would have been said that the presidential candidate is wanting to show his Islamic roots? Would that have been a very saleable item across this nation? And now, is it so long ago that that was the campaign when he was a dedicated Christian? How does that fit with some of the comments that are across the internet and all over the pages of the news, where we are being described, the United States, and quoted from our very president, one of the largest Muslim countries in the world? And now we have writers for the New York Post saying the president is our first president with Islamic roots. How does that sit with you? Were you told what you needed to know? Are you happy and pleased now with his efforts abroad? Please call in during this hour and see how you might feel about that at this time. Maybe this is what's going to happen. But think about it. The small minorities that come along and have their little rallies and concerns, as we have indicated by this fine article that was sent to me from France, that the empowerment of the small groups so often takes over, and the main body of all that congregation of citizens in a country become irrelevant. Today's guest was born in Virginia, moved with his family into the Kansas City area, grew up in Kansas City and Missouri, served in the Air Force, served in the Postal Service, family of six children, all college graduates, and sprinkled across this nation, a very good example of America. And he has some opinions, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to T.R. Kelly of Salt Lake City. Good afternoon, T.R.
Hi, Barbara Jean.
Well, it's nice to have you on. And we are in an interesting world. You know, I guess I'm funny, but I'm stunned by the news being so interesting when they talk about our president with Islamic roots, and that, you know, we as a nation are a large Islamic nation. I just hadn't thought about that.
Well, no, I think he probably obviously overspoke and exaggerated at this particular time, in my view. The numbers, I think they, here about 2 or 3 years ago, the Muslim community surpassed the Jews in total numbers and percentage of the U.S. population. So that was a little surprising, but right now, no, they would not constitute. I think they said they're, what, 41st or 42nd, we're 41st or 42nd in the world as far as Muslim community within, you know, our state borders. But with the immigration policy the way it is, and illegal immigration, and the British, English, or British Commonwealth immigration thing, which impacts us too, because people there from the old Commonwealth use it as a wedge, as an Indian friend said, the guilt-ridden British. And he says we're quite willing to take advantage of their being paralyzed by guilt, whether it's true or not, as he say. And they will go into, of course, Australia, bounce from Australia to Britain, to Canada, into the United States, to the Chinese do that. There is a number of coming through Hong Kong and then bouncing
right
around. So like, within not maybe our lifetimes, our children's lifetime, they probably will become a very sizable presence. And that would be cause for concern, I would think, because of the relationship of power, politics, and religion in Islam.
It is an amazing focus now, and it's just all about, and it's interesting to just recall the time frame, and then I'll move on to another subject, but that our current president, as a candidate in September 2008, in a crowd in Pennsylvania, he said that the Republicans were just making up stuff about his Muslim past.
Sure.
And then a website by his organization, Obama's Organizing America, they also state on there, has nothing to do with Islam. And Obama has never been an Islam or a Muslim. So
right.
It's a total change, I would have to say.
Well, I think he has a very complex background. You know, growing up, basically, he was raised Caucasian, and his mindset, his mental organization, and his speech patterns are basically that. And then, I guess what, they moved to Indonesia, so he was exposed to it, and he may have just had to go along with things to a certain extent because his mother placed him, I would guess, in an environment where the pressures were there. I get the impression that she had real identity problems herself. She may have been very bright, but I think, to me, she had real identity problems. She was very confused. And then when they moved, went to that private high school in Hawaii, of course, that's the Hawley High School, essentially. And so he related there, and his grandmother was the formative influence in his life, it seems to me, all the information you can get. And then he had to learn how to be black, virtually, when he went to Chicago from his wife and the Reverend Wright and the black community there in the church. And so he's not a product, as they claim. He's the first black president, but it's not that simple to me, is that he is not a product of the American black nation. He's not a product of that. He's a product of some pretty complex, complicated, to me, sources and a foundation. And maybe it's remarkable how well he has handled it and that he is centered to a great extent. But I wonder if when he goes to a place, these Muslim countries, if that Muslim experience in his mind comes out at that point. And he feels he identifies with them because maybe he lived with them and associated, maybe had friends, maybe even showed up at the mosque like some kids in the neighborhood will, all their friends are Baptist, and they happen to show up at the Baptist church, even though they're not Baptist. They go, maybe, but he may have not really been deeply connected. I don't know. But at the same time, maybe this comes out because it ingratiates him and maybe makes him feel more comfortable with his host. Now, that may be far out and off the wall, but I sometimes wonder, and I can see where people would be disturbed.
I was interested in the gift given to him by the Saudi Prince Abdullah, the beautiful gold medallion and honor. And that's an incredible piece of jewelry just from people looking at it. That's an amazing moment. And hopefully, I guess eventually those kind of gifts are returned under the laws of the country, that beautiful gift will then go to a certain designation and they are not allowed to be kept, as I understand. But a beautiful
event. I'd like to have one.
I would think that just looked absolutely gorgeous. Well, anyway, and we did get a peek into that other world over there, a very, very interesting part of the globe. Back here in America, we're kind of struggling a bit to know just who we are because we have an identity crisis, and I wondered if you'd like to give us a few ideas about that.
Well, hopefully all I will personally attempt to do is hopefully offer some context and framework and language of analysis, discourse, as they say, whatever that really means sometimes, so they will place these issues in those different contexts that we never hear or it being done, and drawing conclusions that we never hear being drawn. We're only offered a kind of fait accompli, and which puts us in a position of having no standing, no status, no interest, no involvement in this radical transformation that the United States is undergoing.
We'll go to break. We'll come back with the transformation of America.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, zero debt in 90 days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 Debt Relief Secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. HempUSA.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay, call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
I remember returning to our topic when Rumsfeld would get on the television and speak of the transformation of the military and all of these big things that were going to happen, and some did, and maybe not to our benefit. But we are in a transformation. Go to any kind of issue on immigration and so forth, and you'll feel and find the momentum of so many of these factions. I'll talk about that, or maybe fanatic groups that have a real agenda. And I hope we laid the foundation that it may not be all. It may not be the nation, and it may not even be the leaders, but a small group can begin with extraordinary, controversial efforts and maybe then overtake what the main body would be. And one such site is very interesting. It's called Imagine 2050. And, of course, their big line up there is, by 2050, one out of five Americans will be foreign-born. Back to Mr. T.R. Kelly, today's guest on Born on the 4th of July.
Well, in my, view and vision, our major problem is we do not stand up and speak from our actual identity, standing, interest, history, and power base. And that would be as I see a book here by Alexander Saxon. It's called The Rise and Fall of the White Republic. Now, I have not read it. I have it in my library, but I've not gotten around to reading it. But it sort of encapsulates. The thing is that they tell us we were erected on a set of beliefs. The people who dominate this movement, who provide the intellectual firepower, are able to really control public discourse, influence congressmen, presidents, religious leaders, and especially our elite universities dominate the departments of history, political science, social psychology, social anthropology, all the ideology, you know, the mother's milk of ideology, and mind control, reality control, in my view. But the thing is that, to me, our actual history and the intent of the settlers, pioneers, and founders, they arrived here as settlers on a virtually empty continent. Now, I think two eminent historians, no longer with us, of impeccable integrity, their guesstimate, nobody knows exactly for sure how many Indians or Aborigines were here, as the Australians and Canadians put it, they probably numbered around 600,000 for the whole continent, from sea to shining sea and from what today is the Canadian border to the Rio Grande. Now, that's a little more than the population of the state of Wyoming, which is considered empty. So they did virtually come onto an empty continent. Under the rules of that time. Now, today, of course, rules and things would be viewed differently, analyzed differently, because we live in a totally different time. But for that time, and here again is the use of what they call presentism and equivalency. They take what we would do today and try to project it back to that time in order to give legitimacy to their trying to question our legitimacy and founding the country. And so they came on and they created a nation. And nations are usually made up of a common ethnic, racial identity, common religion, language, culture, history, and past. And these people were all from the European continent, mostly from the British Isles, of course. So they shared all those things. And through that interaction, for almost 200 years before the official founding of the country, they became a nation. And nations found states. You have to have that unity. You have to have that solidarity and connectedness in order to pursue that kind of enormous goal and undertaking. If you're fragmented in all kinds of groups, the chances of doing that would be zero. Because the confusion, the infighting, everything else would shut it down. You'd end up with several different countries, essentially, or states. So they founded it. And then what you would call a racial nationalism of the founding nation converged with a civic nationalism of the state, your legal system, governmental system, and the erected on a set of beliefs. It was embedded in the new nation state, the Anglo, I guess at that time you might have said Anglo Nation Republic, or the Euro-Caucasian Nation Republic, which when all of the pan-European immigration came in up until 1965, it would made a Euro-Caucasian. Same thing. An extension of the very same identity, but expanded. But I guess you'd call it diversity on a common theme. Not the kind of diversity they talk about today, which any person really kind of can see.
We'll go to break right here, and we'll be back. We're listening to T.R. Kelly.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
You're listening to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean. Mr. Kelly, you mentioned the year 1965, and that's about 45 years ago.
That's right.
I suggested that this website, Imagine 2050, that's just about 41 years from now, and they're saying by 2050, 1 out of 5 Americans will be foreign-born, Latino communities will triple in size, and Asia will have a high increase. Only 47% of Americans will be classified as whites. Let's return to 1965 and have you bring us forward with information that everyone needs to know why that is such a pivotal year.
Okay, 1965. The movement began apparently in the 1920s. Now, Professor Kevin MacDonald has the trilogy called The People That Shall Dwell Alone. He did an extraordinary work of, high-level scholarship and scrupulousness. They'll probably, especially if too many copies are sold, they're coming after him now. But the third one is called A Culture of Critique. And it will go in there to an ethnic religious diaspora nation. Now, diaspora nation, that's something the founding fathers never really maybe talked about, but their attempt to establish a very homogeneous republic, which a republic has to be, maximum. You can have intellectual and technical and other diversity and innovation and everything else, but socially, culturally, and racially, and even religiously, you have to have enormous commonality in order for a republic to survive. And obviously, we're not going to survive. But in the 20s especially, in fact, let me have here, I'll speak a little bit. It's called, in 1953, the National Jewish Community Relations Advisory Council listed five major and consensual Jewish imperatives. Now, we're talking about a brilliant, accomplished, ethnic religious diaspora nation. We're not talking about a bunch of Presbyterians or Baptists or Methodists milling around. That sometimes, I think, is implied, and it's a total distortion of reality, I believe. First name was a U.S. immigration policy free from racism and other discrimination. Now, when you're founding a republic, and even S.M. Lipset, Seymour Martin Lipset, he's an outstanding sociologist, a political sociologist. He admits, you know, when you found a country, you found anything like it, depending on human beings and people, the effective values that constitute the basis of kinship and the extended family, your racial, tribal group, whatever, you're going to bring in those people to fill it out. Those are the people you're going to bring in. And so for us, it's made racist and discriminatory. Now, if everyone looks around, they can see that other groups are bringing in their own people as fast as they can, legal, illegal, it doesn't matter what. You can see it going on around you every day, and nothing is said. It's given the sanction and affirmation of our whole system. But anyway, this goal was followed in order by civil rights, effective attack against Soviet communism, further application of civil liberties, protection of religious liberty, including the constitutional separation of church and state, et cetera, et cetera. Liberalization of refugee provisions and political asylum. They made sure that was put in that 1965 policy, and obviously most of the unrest, civil war, everything else going on is in third world countries, so that would increase the number of third world non-Euro-Caucasian in particular people coming in addition to the regular policy, which totally excluded that 65, totally excluded the people who founded the country and constituted the immigration policy up until 1965. But anyway, to go back, the 20s, it began with virtually no success. And then in 1924, you had the Ozawa versus U.S. Justice Department. Ozawa was of Japanese descent. They were challenging the white-only immigration policy. And let's see, Justice George Sutherland. Now, Justice Sutherland, I was plucked from the Van Cotton Bagley law firm in Salt Lake City to go on the Supreme Court. Sort of an interesting little sidelight there. And let's see, it goes here. The U.S. Justice Department disagreed in presenting their case for maintaining the immigration policy in 1924. The men who settled this country were white men from Europe, and it was the men of their own kind that they held out the opportunity for citizenship in a new nation. Justice George Sutherland, writing for the court, sided with the Justice Department. The intention of the original nationalization statute was to confer the privilege of citizenship upon that class of persons whom the fathers knew as white or considered to be so, and to deny it to all who could not be so classified. And then things settled down for a little bit. I think at that time, what would become the National Jewish Community Relations Advisory Council, an umbrella group for all Jewish defense and power organizations, went on to religion. And you see a number of cases, 30s and 40s and 50s, filed on religion in the public square, in the schools, everywhere else, Christian religion, of course. And then in 1952, you managed to get the McCarran-Walter Act. And this modified the national origins quota system, which they were after, which maintained a Caucasian or those considered to be so only immigration policy to maintain the Caucasian Republic, essentially. And they slipped that by in 52, and that was the first real wedge. And at that time, a guy named Abbas Swartz, who worked in the State Department in the Visas and Consulate Affairs Security, he was an international lawyer, and he was a point man for the Jewish organizations and later became the point man for the Kennedy-Johnson administration leading up to the 1965 Act. And there's a book, and this is also, I try to guess, so people read for themselves, where they begin to dig, consider these alternate contexts, and then go to, this is a PhD dissertation. It's by Betty Coed, K-O-E-D, and it's called The Politics of Reform. I'll say it slowly so people who want to copy it down. Policymakers and the Immigration Act of 1965. This is a PhD dissertation. Now, you can get it at your library, university libraries generally, or through interlibrary loan at your public library, or you can auto-order copies from the University of Michigan campus. And it's, let me have the telephone number here, because I have another one, but the telephone number there is 800-521-0600. Now, she does a pretty good job, I believe, in giving the information and things you need to know. Now, probably in order to get her dissertation signed off on and even published in this fashion, she probably had to use the language usually describing the pre-1965 as racist, bigoted, supremacist, all that stuff, you know. And then there's another one, the 1952-65. It's by Stephen Thomas Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, and the Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. And you get the same phone number, and you can get a copy. You can get an uncollated paper, it's the cheapest, then the paper, and then the hardback. And the phone number again is 800-521-0600. It's the ProQuest company. It's the UMI Dissertation Services, Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's on the University of Michigan campus. But they photocopy PhD dissertations and master's theses, and which may very few, of course, put into the public square. The professors do that. And I think you'll find them very, very informative. There you can begin to ask your own questions, not just listen to me, whatever else. And that's usually when people draw conclusions by doing some initial research. And I'll try to just give a few copies of several books that are probably, and other sources that are probably good, so you can get it down to the point where you can handle it. The PhDs, like in the state of Utah State, BYU, University of Utah, Westminster, Weber State, Community College, and down Southern New York, they should be doing this. That's what their PhDs are for. I personally think they're terrified into submission and passivity and will not speak up and speak out for their own communities that they were born into. Now, their attachment, apparently, is not very strong. And also, if you don't have tenure, I have one of my son-in-laws, now he's up for tenure at the University of California system. And that's extremely important for a number of reasons, but especially in the social sciences or other areas where you will challenge all these policies that are created out of that, you know, or have their origins in social science research and ideology and, in my view, and et cetera. So they don't, that's probably one reason, you know, speak out, and then they're overloaded. And they would not like to admit that they're intimidated or terrorized or paralyzed by the elites of their own profession. But anyway, that was, you can see that battle's been going on. And then 65, a guy named Norbert Slee, as an assistant attorney general, was a pivotal figure. Swartz had hit John F. Kennedy in 1952 when Kennedy was a congressman. They later on arranged for, I can't remember, it was B'nai B'rith or the Antifa Nation League to fund the cost of Kennedy. He didn't write it. A Nation of Immigrants, they put his name on it. It gives it legitimacy, also directs it away from being written by the corporate Jewish organizations. And a guy named, Arthur Mann was his name. He was the one assigned. He was a very professional writer. And he wrote, and of course he wrote it as the Jewish Defense Organizations wanted it written, in favor of laying the groundwork, saying that the pre-1965 policy was illegal, illegitimate, and immoral. And what they were proposing was moral and legitimate. And so, man, they cranked that off. Kennedy, when you think about it, he didn't have a discipline. It takes an enormous amount of discipline and time. And, of course, you need research help. All of them have to have research help. These things are too massive undertakings. And so then he kept contacting Kennedy. Became president. They already had his ear. They did the same thing to Harry Truman. Poor Harry Truman thought he was an idealist. He thought he was doing the right thing, and they snookered him and ate him alive, too. And then with Kennedy, they thought they had the end, and they did, but he sort of was dragging his feet. But Swartz was the main push, because they had described a scene, I think it was in The Open Society. There was a book called The Open Society by Abba Swartz. He's no longer with us, but that's his little manga, The Open. And there, I think he mentioned that he was trying to convince Secretary of State Dean Rusk to go along with this. And Rusk smelled a rat. They were telling people, they told Attorney General Robert Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy, others, that this will not change the ethnic makeup of the United States. That tells you they knew we had an ethnic racial identity, essentially, in this country. They knew that. But at the same time, they were going to try to attack it and destroy it. And Rusk was dragging his feet. So he and Swartz were going to this House subcommittee on immigration meeting. And Swartz said, I thought I'd lost him. But Lyndon Johnson, I think he did probably a lot of good things as president, but also had an enormous inferiority complex with the Hobbit boys and others. And this afflicted him and distorted his powers of judgment, I believe, anyway. And he got to Rusk and asked Rusk to be a good team player and a good soldier. Well, Rusk was a bureaucrat, primarily, not a politician. So he succumbed to that argument. And he told Swartz, as they were writing to the committee hearings, I'll go along and agree to this, the 1965 policy. He knew basically what was intended, because of enormous lying and deception involved. And also, the once almost still then 90% majority of the country, which would be considered Euro-Caucasian and those considered to be so, as they say, we were not involved in any way, shape, or form. We had no representation. We had no input. Nothing. So, in effect, to me, electoral and representative democracy was put on the shelf. We were totally disempowered. And even the groups pushing it could not believe that we weren't coming forward as the community we were. And the only reason I could think of is because we were assumed we were the original Native Americans. We are the original Native Americans. I wish people would say that. The Indians are not the Native Americans. That's only a ploy and a move made to disempower and disenfranchise us, in my view. And so we were snookered on all counts. There was a lot of panic at that time, a lot of ignorance, and there was absolutely no loyalty and allegiance from our appointed and elected officials to the Euro-Caucasian nation, none whatsoever. And also they were lied to. Senator Eugene McCarthy in his book, A Colony of the World, America in the 20th Century. I can't remember what page it's on now. Maybe I have that here, too, for you. He admitted later he'd been snookered. They lied to me. They lied to me. It was the biggest political mistake of my life. He admitted it. New York Times printed it, but that was it. It's like a lot of things. When they don't want you to really know, and they don't want an issue to become pertinent and on people's minds and on the front burner, they just discontinue any articles, any mention of it. And so probably most people have never heard of that. And so we got the 1965 policy, and the idea that unexplained and unexpected consequences came from it, as far as I'm concerned, is an outright lie. They knew exactly what the consequences would be. They knew exactly what their goal was.
We'll be right back here shortly. We're going to break 1965, pivotal action on this country.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Up until then, 1965, we had had variations, but we had a pretty consistent immigration policy that was handled by the government of the United States and had a dominance of the original folks who came to this country up until that date. Do I have that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, the dynamics of racialism, tribalism, ethnicity, and kinship are very important dynamics in human community life. Now, they can be misused and abused, of course, but they're very essential in maintaining and building and protecting a nation, a state, a community, a people, and to protect yourself against the invasiveness of other groups who may want to take over your turf and territory. There's a little book, and now he's pretty much trying to set the table for acceptance of what's happening to us today and Europe. It's the book by David Day. David Day. And let's see, it's called Conquest, How Societies Overwhelm Others. Now, the United States, they never really go into how complex and complicated our situation is. It isn't just people coming from the outside. It's what I guess they term internal imperialism. And that's where this ethnic religious diaspora nation, which is a unified group mind and historical entity. They built that in an ingenious way, and I understand the way why they did it, because they wanted to return to the promised land. So you had to maintain the nation in exile. And when your nation is a religiously based and ethnically based nation and state, then you use that to hold together. The Greek Orthodox the Orthodox Church does much the same thing, but not nearly as sophisticated and deep and broad as the Jewish faith. Go ahead.
In other words, we don't have any mother looking after us.
No, we don't. Oh, no, not at all. In fact, it appears like in this breakdown and deracination process that, and I've heard this before, and sometimes people poo-poo and say it's too simple-minded. I don't think so. I think it has a base core legitimacy that in imperialism, usually you think of the outside imperialism, they come in and they just tear down your whole structure from the outside and take over, and then your elites side with them. And then they join their elites. But in our case, that's, I guess, happening. And the Caucasian elites are moving on, and now they will join forces sometimes with the other elites of these minority groups, and they will end up supporting minority racialism, tribalism, which is driving their demographic and political goals.
We're going to go to the top here. We'll pick it up after the break. And we're talking about the transformation right before your eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
With recent internet.